Doing good tonight. I can see some of you already falling asleep, but just give me a few minutes and we'll be out of here, all right? Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis 37 tonight. Would you look at that in verse 1 and follow down with me? And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all children, the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Today I just want to speak to you a few minutes about the topic of envy, and how being filled with that type of attitude can really destroy you as a Christian. In this background, Genesis 37 deals with Jacob's favor for his young son Joseph, and the conspiracy of Joseph's brothers to rid themselves of him, because Jacob loved him more. He gave Joseph, as you see in the passage, of coat of many colors, and it caused jealousy and envy among his brothers. As a result, Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery and told their father that he had been killed by an animal. And how often do we look at other people and the things they have and say, if only I could have that. If only I could do what they could do. See, envy is wanting something that you don't have. So maybe for some of us, we don't have that ability to sing, or we don't have the athletic ability that we want, but we want something that someone else has. And jealousy is the fear of losing what you have already. And see, Joseph's brothers were filled with just that. Because as you can see, their father favored Joseph. And see, they weren't okay with that. And we as Christians will find ourselves in a trap of discontentment if we're filled with this envy. There's a fable of an eagle, well, two eagles actually. There was an eagle that could fly higher than the other. And that eagle that wanted to fly as high as the other eagle, he couldn't stand it. So he saw this hunter, and he went up to him and he said, "Man, if only I could take the other eagle down." And the hunter said, "Well, sure, I could do that. I could take the other eagle down, but all I need is some feathers to put on an arrow so I could shoot the other eagle." So the eagle that was filled with envy, he's like, "Sure, I could do that." So he plucks an arrow off, gives it to the hunter. The hunter puts it on the arrow and shoots up at the other eagle, but it wasn't enough. And the other eagle was like, "All right, I can do some more." Plucks a few more feathers off. The hunter tries again, keeps missing. So again and again and again, the eagle that wants to kill the other eagle takes so many feathers off that he ran out to give the hunter. And that eagle that was filled with jealousy and envy was the one who ended up getting shot by the hunter, because the hunter took advantage of his weakness. And you see, that eagle, he was so filled with envy that he didn't care what it took, what it cost, but it cost him a lot more than he wanted. And that so much in our lives, we could be just like that. So we sacrifice maybe a little bit, and then we do a little more, and then all of a sudden, we're the ones in the bad situation, because just a little bit of something turns into a big situation. Notice with me from Genesis 37 here, two critical aspects of being filled with envy. First, you can see in verse number 4 that the brothers had a corrupt attitude. Their hatred was foolish. Look into verse number 4. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now Joseph, he wasn't just some random guy. I mean, this is their brother, their blood. But that didn't matter to them. because what he had something that they couldn't have, that coat of many colors. And they probably didn't wake up one day and decide that they were going to sell their brother to slavery or even think about killing him. But day by day, that envy grew inside of them, and one event led to the next, and all of a sudden, they betrayed their own brother. How does that happen? Because if you have envy in your life, and if you don't take care of it right away, it's gonna build and build and build, and all of a sudden, you're gonna have someone thrown in a pit, metaphorically, just like the brothers did to him. And what does the Bible say about hate? In 1 John 2:11, it says, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes." And how true is it that his brothers were blind from their own hate? And I'm not saying this today, but this is God's word that says if you hate your brother, you're in darkness. And it's a hard pill to swallow, but that's exactly what God's word says. I'm not trying to step on any toes tonight, but it says right here that if you hate your brother, as far as, you know, people in this room, you're in darkness and you're blind. And if I had that feeling, I'm blind. And this is Charles Spurgeon said this: "If you find any evidence of envy in your life, confess the comparison mindset. Recognize that you're focusing on what God is doing in another person's life rather than your own." And I like this right here. It says, "Thank him for how he is blessing the other person." Amen. That's kind of hard to do, isn't it? It's against our nature. And ask him to place love in your heart for that individual. Then refocus your attention on what the Father is doing. Finally, memorize and meditate on verses. And if you're burdened with envy, then you're missing out on God's best. Don't wait to deal with the sin, which will fester and grow if left unattended. The one who created you and designed a good plan for your life is able to conquer the envy that is in your heart. I can go on, but I think we get the point here. It's such a simple concept to understand, but yet we overcomplicate it a lot. God's word is pretty clear what it says about hate and anger. But how can we deal with hatred or anger? And I believe that we can deal with it just by simply loving others. In John chapter 13 and verse 34 and 35, it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one to another." This type of love that is being used here is phileo love, which is a brotherly love. And something that spoke to me about this part is if we as First Baptist Church of Kingstown have trouble loving each other, then how are we going to love people who are in the world and lost? If someone from the world comes in here in a service in First Baptist Church of Kingstown and all they see is bickering and hatred towards each other, what are they going to do? They're not going to come back. If we realize that there's other churches in this area, they don't have to come back. And especially if they see one of us, it just takes one person for them to see, for their experience to be ruined here. So we should do our best to love one another, because it says here, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples." So that's something we should all strive for here tonight, is to show each other genuine love, not just shrug each other off and fill our spot in the pew. In 1 John 4:11, it says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." You see, it is enough that Jesus died on the cross for us. Yeah. And because he had such love for us, the least we could do is show that love to others. And secondly, here in Genesis 37, I can see that Joseph's brothers covered their sins. And the thing about this is that They might have hid it from their father, but God knew what they were doing right when they did it. If you look in verse 18 and follow down with me, it says, "And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast into some pit. He will say some evil beast had devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. They sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Galilee, or from Gilead, and with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt, and Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren, and they said, This child is not, and whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed the kid of goats and dipped the coat in blood. You see, Joseph's brothers, they thought they were clever. Maybe they were. They were clever enough to trick their dad. And their plan worked. And it said they were content with it. They got to the point of their life where they were content with their sin. Because it all started with that envy. And let us not get to the point in our life where we're content with our sin. Because that's exactly what this is in here, in this passage with Joseph's brothers as sin. And it may have taken 9 chapters for Jacob to finally know the truth about his son. But can I just say that God knew the truth when the brothers covered Joseph's coat with the goat's blood. And in Proverbs 15:3 it says, The eyes of the Lord are in every place. When the brothers of Joseph brought the news to their father, Jacob was devastated and so hurt from the news that his sons tricked him into believing. Look in verse 35. And all his sons and his daughters rose up to comfort him, and he refused to be comforted. And he said, For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Jacob was so devastated that he didn't even want the comfort of his own family, because he found out that Joseph was dead. And their father was hurt by their lies, so hurt that he didn't want to deal with their comfort. And if a father on earth can get hurt so badly from his son's lies, how do you think our Heavenly Father would feel if his children lie to him? So much more. The idea that the brothers thought they were alone and no one could see him is a lie. And that lie is from Satan. Because Satan wants to destroy each and every one of us. It says in Luke 21:31, And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, and that he may sift you as wheat. See, Satan's goal for each and one of us in here is to destroy us. And how can he destroy us? Maybe he'll plant a little bit of bitterness in you, or a little bit of jealousy or envy. And that's not where he's not just going to stop there. He's going to keep going and going and going until you've already done something that is too late. And instead of trying to cover up secret sins, quote unquote, we should be confessing our sins before God. In 1 John 1:9, it says, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, we shouldn't use that verse as some kind of lucky rabbit's foot. But if we should go to God and be genuine in our confessing and have true repentance. We should confess our sins because if we cover our sins, we cannot prosper. It says that in Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And who in here wants mercy? I know I do. And who in here wants to prosper? But you can't prosper in life if you have some things covered up. You might be able to fool the people around you, but you can't fool God. And if you have some covered sins, God knows about those sins, but he wants you to confess those to him. But it says if you're covered up, you cannot prosper. In Psalms 32:5, it says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. To see, the awesome thing about God is he wants to forgive you. He wants to forgive me. If we would just willingly and genuinely have genuine confession. But instead, we try to think that we can, you know, just get by at not confessing it. And that will lead, like I said, we will not prosper. There's a hymn that we all know. And the background of this hymn is the author lost much of his fortune in a Chicago fire. Some of you may know this. He sent his family on a vacation, but he couldn't go with them because of some pressing business matters. There was an accident in the ship, and he ended up losing four of his daughters. His wife was the only survivor in his family. But something he said really just got my attention. He said that he felt a peace over him, even though he just heard the news of losing four daughters. And imagine if he was filled with envy or jealousy because, you know, why can't I have my daughters? And he ended up penning this verse after a situation like this. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. And I think that is so awesome to hear a testimony of a man who lost four daughters. And the way he was able to get to that place was because he trusted the one who could help him conquer that. And if he tried to deal with it on his own, who knows what would have happened. But he used the greatest source that we ever have, God's word and God himself. In this passage, we're able to see two critical aspects of being filled with envy. First, we're able to see that the first critical aspect was a corrupt attitude. Amen. And how our hatred is so toxic. Yeah. And it might not even seem that it's going to turn into hatred, but when you're filled with envy and jealousy, pride, bitterness, hatred will fill you. And secondly, we're able to see that being filled with the envy can get you to a state of what the brothers did, where they're covering their own sins. And I pray that each and everyone in this room today would just understand that to keep a short account with God, because if you let something grow and grow and grow, it's going to knock you over on your feet. And the verse about Satan trying to sift you as wheat, and it kind of bothers me when people say, oh yeah, you know, just give the devil a punch in the face. But honestly, you and I on our own, we can't do anything against the devil. Right. You know how powerful the devil is? Right. If we cannot have a one-on-one with Satan, we will get defeated every single time. But can I tell you something, that we're already on the winning side if we would just ask Jesus to help us fight off Satan? Right. We have that. We have access to that power, but so many times we just sit back and try to fight Satan on our own, but the fact is that we can't. And we have a choice here this evening. Will we in this room be caught in the trap of discontentment? Or will we be grateful for what God has given us today? Father, I just thank you for this time that we had to learn in your word. And just to realize, Lord, that we have a true power we can go to help us in our struggles of sin. And I pray that something said today would be an encouragement and be helpful to somebody. I know it was to me. And I pray that not only we'd be hearers of your word, Lord, but doers also. And I thank you, Lord, for such a great church, just to have the opportunity to be here around these people. And I want to just tell them, Lord, that they're a blessing to me. We love you, Lord, so much. We thank you for a good night we've had so far. In your name I pray, amen.